Welcome to Juice Podcast. I'm Gwen Douglas.
I'm Emily Harmon.
Welcome to the holiday celebration episode. I wore sparkles, she wore pom-poms.
Yeah, I've got a red pom-pom top on, actually. So for everybody that's tuning in audio, you are missing out on the video today.
On her pom-poms.
Yes. It's not just any pom-poms.
It's a very nice, the red, very red matching.
This is vintage Comme des Garçons, actually. I showed my friend Christian that's got the shop here in Berlin, and he was like, because you can tell from the labels when the collection came out, and he's like, this is 16 years old. Did you know that? And I was like, no, I bought it in a vintage shop.
It's so cute. It is very festive.
I never really wear red, pom-pom. But
it looks good on you.
Yeah. It makes a difference from the black and greys. Yeah. And occasionally white's my monochromatic.
The monochromatic works for you. You are kind of monochrome. You have dark hair, pale skin. Yeah works.
I'm wearing. I know. I love this.
Very 60s.
I love it. I wish I'd put a dress
very
on.
Flammable. I think so. I shouldn't get too close
to the candle.
Got any more lighting cigarettes near
Don't lean against the Christmas tree.
I feel like it's like it's like a dress version of a shell suit or something. Like, easily sometimes. So, today's challenge was, so we called it, you were calling it Celebration Wines, which I actually thought was a very clever name.
Yeah.
Because it's true, not everyone celebrates a particular holiday. And during this time of year, there's just celebration all round.
Yes.
And for other times of the year, there are some wines, like the wine I picked, I feel like, even if there is no celebration, you open it and you're having a celebration.
Because of the wine.
Because it's delicious and you feel real special, so... I'm curious, you've got yours in some sort of...
I feel like maybe we should do yours first. I want to
only because you want to keep anticipation. Exactly.
She's
trying to keep
I've got mine very artistically wrapped in some blue crepe paper, which is not at all festive.
It's very sculptural. I like it.
Gwen's being very kind because it looks awful.
It looks good.
I was like,
it
will look okay. Kind of,
There's movement. Movement and feeling. I'm gonna use the knife of this guy.
Hey,
hang on. There's no knife on that.
Remember? Oh, I see the knife. All right,
injuries during the Merlot episode. I don't want to repeat that.
Oh, that's true. I remember that.
Acne thumb. All right, so I'll just use the knife. So then,
Gwen's using the Tyke opener again, which is.
I feel like it's just punishment. It's just like a
until it breaks, we're gonna use it every episode.
I'm gonna be like, bang,
every
bang.
Time you're at Tyke Gallery, you're just gonna be like throwing
it.
Slinging it.
Got, like stories on my Instagram of me just like running, trying to run it over with a car. So here we go.
Yeah, I think you're right. So this time of year, everybody is celebrating and
different things.
So. I think you main things, what, Hanukkah, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
I mean, just the fact
New Year's
that New Year's
Eve
is
coming up.
Yeah.
So I think everybody's kind of getting together or at least taking some time off work. And, you know, particularly here in Berlin, it's a very festive city because there's Christmas markets everywhere. So you can celebrate Christmas every day.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah, and drink new wine and get quite drunk and... we weren't repeating Glühwein this year because I think we still need a bit more time to perfect our...
To refine our recipes.
I think our technique was the real issue, wasn't it?
There were many
It was on my side. I could control the alcohol out of mine. Yours was
like
the
Lucas
citrus.
Lucas watching us do it was like, what are you doing? Like, it's going to be bitter, like the pith, the whatever, just a mess all around. So we will, maybe we should just make a weird summer night Glühwein might be nice.
That sounds quite good. Especially maybe like
campfire.
A white one.
Yeah. Like a cool summer evening.
We should do Greco-Roman wines, infusions, and see who comes up with the best old recipe from Greco-Roman wines.
Ooh, challenge accepted.
Yeah,
I love a bit of research.
We can also maybe bring someone else on for that as well. That'd be quite funny.
So if there are any historians here... Wine historians or otherwise.
Yeah. Or an archaeologist that wants to get involved, let us know.
You want
to
get
You know any Greco-Roman orgy wines? We won't be having an orgy
Caligula.
On the podcast.
Yeah. We'll just have Caligula on loop behind us. But anyway, so I brought a Meursault. So this is Antoine Joubert Letillier. And 2015. And I really like Meursault.
Yeah. You're a little, that's your soft spot, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think this is actually amazing if we base it on, I mean, we both celebrate Christmas, so that's our big holiday.
Christmas
Do you do
dinner.
Thanksgiving as well?
No, we never did that. Thanksgiving? No. Because actually the Canadian one is much earlier. It's in October.
Okay.
And we never did it anyway because I grew up in the UK. And yeah. My mum didn't do it. And
but when you were an adult there, you wouldn't...
Yeah. Oh. It was never my thing. I think it was just like... To be honest, my family's never been a big holiday celebrating... Like, we do weird Christmas, you know? Like, one year we did, like, Mexican Christmas where we had fajitas. Like, the last time I was home for the UK...
You really are the Royal Tenenbaums. It's crazy.
My family did a American truck stop. My parents wore boiler suits. My dad was barbecue.
For Christmas?
Yeah, for Christmas. We all had to dress up in outfits. I mean, even at Lucas's parents, we did black metal Christmas the one year and I face-painted them both. It was amazing. So, yeah, we don't do traditional Christmas. But I dream of traditional Christmases because I love anything like this. And this would be fab with Christmas dinner.
Turkey. I agree. Turkey, yeah. Any birds, like for people that don't do turkey and do chicken, yeah. Even I think with stuffing.
Yeah, with all the nuts and chestnuts and all the spice stuff, I think. And if not, you just have it all by yourself with some cheese.
I was about to say that. After dinner with cheese, that'd be nice.
It's kind of the... This is my, like...
Even, like, a Christmas Eve wine the night before.
Yeah, totally.
Bottle fire, some cheese out, watching super nice. A film inside, getting cozy.
It just feels special when you... Because they're not the cheapest wines. This was a little pricier. But I think, like, when I'm having a really bad week or month, sometimes I buy myself a Merceau to have my last day of work. Because then I think, like, I'm worth it. I deserve... I worked hard this week. Just a little treat. So it's a good treat wine. So all I know about this from my quick Google search is that it's malolactic fermentation in oak barrels, aged for 24 months in French oak, 20% of them new. It's unfiltered. It does have sulfites. And, yeah.
Let's give it a whirl.
So let's go.
Lovely.
It might be a bit too cold because it just came out of the fridge. I don't know. We'll let the pro tell us.
We're both pros when it comes to drinking.
Getting it in.
Enjoyment and drinking. Yeah. I think we're both on an equal footing on that. Yeah, I mean, I love Burgundy. I just think as well, this is really, this is everything that I want from it, where it's got this lovely, obviously you've got a bit of that toastiness from the wood, citrusy, this sort of almost little bit of stone fruit coming through, and then there's like sweet spice there as well.
It's a little bit of everything. It's like diamond. Multifaceted.
I got it. Yeah.
I explained it for those of you that are like, what? so yum.
Tasting quite nicely. A little bit of reduction initially, because that toastiness is a bit dominant on the palate, but I think when that's open,
it's going to be a nice long finish.
Almost has this like butter popcorn note on the palate.
I really like, I think that's one of the things I really like generally about Merceau is they tend to be super buttery.
Yeah.
Like there's a real like
buttery,
dairy
creamy,
thing going
lactic,
on. Yeah.
Malolactic fermentation for you.
Exactly. So yeah, really yum. I mean, I'm happy to drink this without food.
That is delicious.
But it's really yummy. Mm. Oh, thank goodness it's the end of the week. I'm really excited. This is like all...
You just wind down now into the chair.
Yeah.
Lovely. Get ready for Christmas. You've got your prezzies. No prezzies under the tree here at Tycho Gallery, though.
No presents for anyone. No,
I had hoped.
You've all been naughty. No.
This is Gwen's present. I should have wrapped it up and put it under the tree.
We could have been, like, digging for our presents.
Yeah.
No, but this is, I think, something that... I don't know why I've got chestnut on the brain, but...
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Super
chestnut
weird.
Stuffing. Oh, my God. Or just... I love eating chestnuts.
I mean, I like chestnuts all round.
Yeah, I mean, you could also do that. If you were, if you had a limited budget for Christmas and you were to choose food or wine, you choose wine.
Wine, 100%.
Just get a little fire pit in the garden and throw loads of chestnuts in. And eat the roasted chestnuts
so
on the bottom of so.
I mean, one year, a very long time ago, one of my favourite Christmas dinners ever was, like, we didn't do anything.
Yeah,
it was an ex of mine. And, he worked at a restaurant. So he went over, we lived next door to the restaurant. He went over, it's a really lovely restaurant in Ottawa called Becta. And he went over, grabbed a tray of duck confit and three baguettes, frozen baguettes.
Did he let them know he was taking it?
He was the head chef.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm just imagining this guy going in mid-service, like, and he can see them all being cooked. And he's like, closed, just going to take a few off.
No, it was like Christmas Day. Okay. So, like, went over there, grabbed a tray of duck confit and a couple of frozen baguettes that we cooked up fresh, and then we just drank wine and watched Christmas films and ate duck confit and baguette with butter, and I was happy as a clam.
That sounds great.
It's pretty good. Very carby and meaty, but
yeah,
baguette. You can have salad other days of the year.
That's the good thing about dating a chef at Christmas, isn't it?
My God, this year I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Because we go to Austria this year, and Lucas is a chef, and his mother is a pastry master and baker, so...
Did she send any of those little small things like she did last year?
No, she sent us pictures. I know, I was like, why aren't they here now?
I know, that was so good. They're I remember so coming around and just being like, I'm so glad they said I can eat as many as I can.
The shortbread, like, I'm a sucker for shortbread.
So good.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I remember once actually, my ex-boyfriend was a chef, and we did Christmas at my grandmother's house. It was so funny because we ordered a goose. The goose was much bigger than we had initially thought it was going to be. We managed to get it in the oven.
Cram it in.
But it was one of those Christmas days where it was like...
It's still not ready.
It's like 6 p.m. usually we have Christmas lunch at
like 3 or 4, like, yeah.
We think it's going to be ready, and he's like, should I just start cutting bits
off? Also, like, those like, ovens because the like, oven, they had a shit not enough air oven. Moving around.
And they, have a they had a shit oven. So it was like one of those sort of early days electric fan ones. You'd have been better off
cutting it and like cooking it flat.
It was just like, you know, like there's one where if you cook a roast chicken, it's going to take an extra hour or something. And he didn't know that. So then he's like sort of planned it all out. Everything's ready. But he's just like, I don't understand why it's still not cooked. I'm like, it's a shit oven. That's the most
frustrating thing too. When you're like cooking for a bunch of people and you're like, I've got everything planned. Like last year I was
followed the recipe and the recipe book exactly.
Doesn't matter, last year actually it was like, because I cooked for, Lucas was away last year and I cooked for, I guess we were 11 or 12 for dinner. So I cooked two chickens, did a chicken and a capon. And then also did, I had to do regular Christmas food. Then I did kosher food and had to do vegan food. So it was like, it's a lot of cooking. But I had a crazy, because I love a list. Everyone should love a list. And I had a very thorough timing list of exactly when I should do everything. And actually it was very relaxed. So I highly suggest if you're cooking dinner, make yourself a list. Go backwards. It's good. I think most normal home chefs don't think about doing that because it's such a kitchen thing to do.
I make a list. I love making a list.
Make a list and then like figure out what takes the longest and
start with
order
that.
Of service, you know, like order of cooking. Have everything prepped the day before. I had everything prepped and chopped in the fridge, and it was just a case of like assembly, putting things in the oven. It just makes your day so much easier. No messing around.
Yeah, I feel like I'd probably need you around for stuff like that because I'd be like, it is all going to work out, like 2 hours before. And
meanwhile,
I'm, like,
I'm running around behind like,
Emily, don't you think this should be in right now? It's going to be fine. Everybody eats at midnight.
that
risotto that time.
Oh, man. It was a fun night. But actually, what was funny...
Did you get it right on time?
Yeah. And what was annoying, of course, I was...
Everybody was on time.
They were fucking late because it's Berlin. Everyone was like an hour late, I was
well,
like...
Well, I disagree because there's also... But you had no Germans, right? Were they Germans? Any Germans there? Nothing. Wait, no, this is not...
Sorry, guys. Yeah. We had... Who did we have? No, we had some French, some Israeli, American...
English.
Germans, English.
Well, yeah, I would say... Maybe no often Germans. You've, like... Often you throw a dinner party and you say 7:30s, which actually means...
But it's Berliners. It doesn't. Berliners to me is not
actually
German.
Actually means show up at 7:45 because no one fucking shows up on time. It's nobody nice. Should show up on time at your dinner party. And a German will show up at 7:15 and you're like, you're supposed to be here in half an hour.
I don't have any trousers on. That's usually Lucas. He's like, fuck, oh no. He's in his like sweatpants, like, or he's just cooking in a t-shirt and grandpa slippers. It's a strong look from Lucas. But yeah, this is yum. I would
very yum.
Drink it any day of the year, but I think if you brought this to your mum, she'd be happy.
I think most mums would be more than happy with this bottle of wine. I think it's a very special bottle of wine.
Very nice. I'm happy. I'll be seeing you later. I'll be seeing you after the show.
Meet me backstage.
Exactly. Oh my God, I can't believe she's going to open it in the wrapping.
Yeah.
She wants to keep the surprise until the very last second.
I do, yeah.
I'm slightly afraid.
Remember we did the blind ones last year? You caught me out with that fucking sans air.
We had a 2009 one of those recently. Wasn't that much of a treat.
Don't look. I know you won't. Boop.
I've been watching someone change or something, like. You gotta hide the cork too, because it's.
Exactly.
In the back pocket.
Who is it? Dame Edna? Pop it? Is it Dame Edna that called everyone pop it?
Oh, really?
Was it Dame Edna? Could be wrong.
Okay. Oh, no.
You're going to get a little taste and then you can unwrap the bottle.
Well. I mean, it smells like an aromatic. But it's quite light. Is there a little noble rottenness or something? No.
I'm not going to answer any questions yet. I'm going to give you... Gwen is blind tasting the wine that I have in wrapping. This is funny. So stressful to blind taste. It's really on camera. Yeah,
because I feel like it's an aromatic, but it's pretty low. It feels like low. Hang on a minute. It doesn't feel.
My clue for you is think about flavors. Mm. Think about weight.
Like it has a viscosity.
What could it be or what couldn't it be? So maybe like, eliminate.
I'm thinking aromatic. So I was thinking like Riesling, Gewürztraminer, like all of these sort of like thicker... What are some... And I don't think it's like necessarily lower in Europe because it doesn't have like crazy amounts of flavor. It's still quite subtle and light. It's not... Oh no.
Nice texture to this wine, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah, there's definitely like a thickness about the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Viscosity, body.
Yeah. So, this is a toughie. I mean, I'm tempted to say...
I'm so evil that the wine person has done this to you.
I mean, I'm leaning towards... Because it doesn't necessarily... scream French to me.
Okay.
So I'm thinking it's either like German or border, so like Alsace or something. Okay. But I'm probably
confused. If I said, don't worry about the place for now, but focus on what it might be made
from.
Is
it a blend?
It's a single varietal.
It's a single varietal. Like now I'm using my head more than I'm using. I'm using my head way more than I'm using my nose, which is.
No, use your nose.
No, it's difficult.
Follow your heart, Gwen.
Can we enter the Disney? Just follow your heart. It's stressing me out. I'm stressed. Yeah. I mean, I'm getting
go
like...
into a quiet place.
Okay. I mean, it's definitely like peachy. There's some peachiness happening. Mm. There's also a little citrus, but then there is a little like honeyed a little bit. That's maybe why I was asking you about the botrytis. If there was something...
I don't think there's any botrytis in this.
So then it's probably... Then on the... In the mouth...
For me, it's slightly atypical, but there are notes on the nose and on the palate that should tell you...
There is a bit of spice. So that's why I was like, it's for me, either a Riesling or a Gewürztraminer would be my pick.
Do you want to unwrap the bottle?
Yeah.
That's very badly wrapped.
I feel like it's going to take me on a whirlwind. I'm very curious what this is. What is this? I haven't tried this. Oh, no, I did try this.
I bought a wine that would be a celebration with Gwen.
So, actually, this is the... these are the guys from Oregon?
Yes.
So this was my number one pick for Raw this year.
I didn't even know they were at Raw this year.
So this was my number one favourite
wine.
So
you know I've had this bottle of wine for six months. I've just been waiting to surprise her. So we've got the 2000...
It is atypical, I think.
Yeah.
It does have a bit more Riesling on the nose.
Because it's volcanic soil.
But it's really... This was my absolute favourite thing at Robert's.
So, 2016, over the reverse, Tremina. I was like... No, because I was thinking and I was like, celebration wine. And then I was like, oh, it's so obvious to choose champagne.
That's why I also was like, oh, I don't want champagne.
I know, and then you picked white burgundy. And then I was like, oh, I don't know if we should do red. We've done like a lot of red episodes.
Also, I don't, even though Christmas, I feel like evenings with red.
But then like, I was just like, fuck it. This if I had Christmas fun. Day with you, this would be the wine that you'd feel very happy about celebrating with. So, and I didn't know that you knew it. So I was like, this might.
I actually
be very
only just tried it last week, yeah. And actually, there weren't so many things at the actual raw fair this year that I was super excited.
It wasn't
about.
A great lineup.
It wasn't a great lineup, but this was really exciting. I really loved it, and. Because there were actually a lot of Gewürztraminers on show.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice?
No, I just
actually
cherry picked.
There were lots of like Eastern Europeans doing.
Okay.
And they were not delicious.
Yep.
Like the kind of Gewürztraminers that when you smell them, you're like, wow, you're like so delicious.
This
and
is a Gewürztraminer.
And
then
you taste them and you're like flabby yeah. and yeah. like just nothing. But this is super, because actually.
This is a Gewürztraminer that I actually really enjoy and I actually like, so it's funny because I think it wasn't can't remember if it was this year, yeah, it might have been this year actually. I tried this in spring with a very close friend of mine, Jan Kinetsky,
yeah.
who you know, and he's like, you've got to come here, and we tasted the wines, the Oven wines together, and he's like he's like, I related a lot to Gwen about Gewürztraminer, right? And I'm like, of course. Here we go. She's fucking filtering through. My mate's in other countries. And then, so then he was like, and I think it is, it gets a hard rap. And I was like, okay. And he's like, and I brought you here because you need to try this one because it might change your mind. And it did. And I was like, this is really good.
Because actually these two in a lineup on a Christmas dinner are actually, they're not so far apart.
Yeah.
I feel like in terms of texture and
body and weight. Yeah.
I think one could follow the other
and
easily.
This is atypical in terms of there is a lot. And I just wonder if there are not many people making Gewürztraminer
in
this
style.
In
this style. Because I do think that like on the nose, for me, it was like a bit petrol-y and a bit Riesling-y.
Yeah, because there is almost this sort of limey character that's
yes,
there.
It's a bit lime and
but then because I knew what it was, I could notice this like floral rosy thing going on.
I could smell the floral thing, but it was so light, and it wasn't until I tasted then you got the bit of spice.
And that almost
lychee
thing going on.
But I think
but it's
really
very
nice.
Discreet and delicate, and I think it's very charming actually.
Totally.
So this is a project that was, the winery was started in 2011. I think they're a husband and wife team actually. And they originally started producing, I think, Riesling and then
they have quite a few
varietals. Yeah. But this is Gewürztraminer that's from basalt soils, so volcanic, which I think is why you get this lovely freshness to the wine as well. They make the wines all completely the same way. So always with wild yeast and that same story of like nothing taken away, nothing added. So there's no filtration, there's no fining, but all of the wines do have extended lees contact,
which gives it that creamy mouthfeel.
Yeah, and I don't know what their approach is to picking, so I don't know if they pick a little bit earlier, which is why they're still getting some freshness. But all the wines are vinified in a mixture of neutral oak, neutral acacia barrels, and concrete eggs. So, you know, not impacting flavours.
Yeah.
From the vessels.
Maybe that's why it was giving me like a German feeling, because it wasn't feeling like over the top like sometimes the French can be. It does have a slight, but it was like confusing.
Sorry, France.
Sorry. Hey, I love it. But I think like, I didn't even think of the Americas.
Yeah.
I was like, head was immediately in Europe, which kind of makes sense in terms of like not thinking like it was Southern Europe, because Oregon is quite far north in terms of North America.
So this is from Willamette Valley as well, or Willamette Valley.
Oh, is that how they say it?
Yeah.
I always say Willamette.
Mate, don't get me started on Yosemite, which I only found out recently was Yosemite.
Yep.
You know, because I only ever, that's what I would call it.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
No, so like when, because obviously it's always the window's background, and I'm like, I love that Yosemite. It's really beautiful. I have that.
Love
and then
it.
Recently, again, this time
you never
this year,
watched like
I'm no because I'm
Yogi
just...
Bear. Was it? Didn't they live in Yosemite Park?
Did he?
I don't know. I'm making shit up now.
I mean, it could happen, but I just maybe was just like, what's that word? You know, sometimes...
So many of these places in the States, they make no sense.
Well, then I was actually, it was, when I said this year, it was like 2 or 3 months ago, I was sitting there and somebody said Yosemite, and I'm like, where's that? And they're like, it's a national park. And then I started thinking about, have I
she
heard
was
of
like
that?
A meme with the woman and the algorithms, like the mathematics. She's like, huh, Yosemite.
I know. And then I was like, hang on a second, is this the same thing that I thought this was for like 15 years of my life?
Yes.
And then she's like, yeah, it's Yosemite, you know? And then I was like...
It's like Arkansas, where you're like, why?
Arkansas.
Why? When my parents lived in South Texas, there were so many places that you'd be like, oh...
English language applies to both of these situations,
very
by the
confusing,
way.
Yeah. So it was like, they lived near a place that when written, it looks like...
She loves
me,
a
like, slamming it back.
Yeah.
Harlingen. That's how it's spelt. And I was like, oh, are we going to Harlingen? My mom's like, it's Harlingen. Of course it is. Why would you pronounce all the letters in the word? You just... But I guess it's the same thing the way North Americans think of, like, Worcester.
Yeah. Or like, Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah,
Worcester
that one,
sauce,
like,
Worcestershire sauce. They're like, why is it Worcester sauce? And I'm like, oh.
You drop the Shire. Just ignore the Shire part. It's, we don't need it.
Yeah.
Just Worcester. Worcester. Worcestershire sauce. People, like, they go mad. Can't
figure
what
other ones are there?
Leicester, that's another one.
Yeah, Leicester's confusing
Leicester's
for a lot of people.
Leicester.
Leicester.
Leicester. Leicester.
Yeah, we have a lot of places like Loughborough.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, my sister went to school for Loughborough.
Do you know, and I realised, because of spending time in other countries like Australia, so in Australia...
Also some mad words.
But you know, like, so for example, there's a place north of where my parents live... Which is spelled like rocking chair, but like Rockingham.
Yeah.
So the Aussies say Rockingham. Oh, we're going to Rockingham.
Yeah.
But like, if you were in England, you'd say
Rockingham.
Rockingham.
Yeah, Rockingham. Like Effingham.
So I'm going to Rockingham, and they're like, what are you talking about? It's so funny.
That's
so, then
so
there's,
funny.
And there's a place up north called Exmouth. So then
Exmouth.
I work with... Yeah, so I
it's
work...
Exmouth.
But you know, I've realised that it started to infiltrate my mind, because I've been... Who's doing Leonardo DiCaprio? Fuck off! No one's incepting here, but everybody is. No, so I, so I get into, I got into a black cab recently, and I'm like, I'll go to Exmouth Market, please. And the guy's like, the guy looked at me. I love this because they're so candid.
Yeah,
black cabbie's
it.
Like, no bullshit. Like, just talk to me like a fucking real person.
Yes.
What are you talking about? And he's like, are you talking about fucking Exmouth Market, mate? And I was like, Yes, I am. Sorry.
So
I was like, no,
I'm
I was
sorry.
Just like, I don't know why I even said Exmouth. Like,
you'd probably been
Weymouth.
Reading it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Weymouth.
Take me
to
Weymouth.
I've
been working in this restaurant on that street for 5 years. I'll go to Exmouth Market. Who am I? Why? You know, some people didn't realize.
I think it's like a foreign language thing too. Like, our heads are so full of like... So many pronunciations.
Yeah, you were
control.
You were so funny via text. You now you text non-native English speaking texts.
I speak second language English.
Over text.
Yeah.
It's so
in
funny.
Real life too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say things like even I've had like friends and clients from other countries.
Write me when you're ready. That's yours. You always say write me.
Instead
write
of,
me
I
when you're
the
ready.
To the whatever.
And I realized I started saying it, and then my friend Mark Andrew from Novara was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I was like, hang on.
I'm
what,
just
you know
you
what I'm talking
ESL.
About? He's like, why are you saying that sentence like that? And I was like,
oh, man.
I don't know.
It's out of control.
And he's like, did you write to me? Like, and I was like, oh, no, it's the burden
you know
of life.
It's 10 years of living in countries that don't speak English. You know, I also spent 6-7 years in the Netherlands before Germany. So now it's like a solid 10 years of living in places where English is not the... Like, I speak like some sort of weird kindergarten teacher. Like, I had a friend of mine that was like, I'm a fucking English major. Like, I took literature, and now I cannot speak my own language. It's like...
You are quite... If we're one-on-one, it's fine. It slowly, like...
Oh, it's just...
It nice. Slowly disappears. It's mostly text messages that make me laugh the most, because I'm just... It's so... Because you don't... You rarely say that to
I
me
mean,
face
my
to face.
Texting is actually, like, a mess to begin with, because I have... acrylic nails and typing on that phone, it's like a struggle. Like I'm in a struggle.
So
I'm
I'll
battle.
See you then, and then we go for I don't know. It's
it is really awkward.
It's really funny because then it's just like Because you don't speak like that in person, actually.
But I actually say some things where I noticed, like, I posted some stories on Instagram, and one of my friends from Canada, who's German, she was like, oh my God, you have a German accent in English. I was like, no.
In your written.
No, speaking. No, you do. I was speaking to the dog. No, I was speaking to the dog. And she was like, okay, well, that's different.
You do not. Okay, that's.
Lore. Lore. Like, I say all these weird, like, yo. Like, all these weird Austrian sounds.
There is the odd sound. Something came up recently, and I heard someone say something, and I remember thinking, that sounds like Gwen. Yeah, and I can't remember what it was, but there was something. You do do that, and you're like...
I make a lot of weird sounds.
Oh, we go there after. We go there. And you do, annoying. But you do... It's funny, because your body language
I'm
changes.
I'm annoyed by it.
You do this little thing with your shoulders when you do it. Have you noticed that?
Oh, I do it a lot, this.
It's really fun. But it's, oh, and then we go, oh.
But it's also funny, because when I used to try to speak Dutch, people would make fun of me because I don't have a super high-pitched voice as a woman. Like, I actually have a... My singing voice is quite, like, mid-range. Like, I do better singing men's songs than I do women's songs.
But then, you can still reach high notes. You've got a really delicate voice as well.
Yeah, I have, like, a bit of range.
Gwen, by the way, is a ridiculous
killer
singer. And if you ever follow her on social media sometimes, she posts drunk karaoke videos where she's singing karaoke at home by herself. And they're fucking good. And she always sings in French. So she's like this little cute, sexy karaoke woman.
For a girl, you know? That's why I'm so excited. Paris Tattoo Convention this year. They're going to have a live band for live karaoke. Very excited. Watch it. I'm going to do some Gainsbourg. Maybe a little Patsy Cline, some Kitty Wells. Get my country now. That's my other love. But no, I definitely like notice when I was trying to speak Dutch, it's almost like... You're like, don't hurt me because I don't know what I'm doing. So your voice it rises a little bit in terms of pitch. And I notice I do it too with German. It's this like, it just goes up a tiny bit. And I notice it with my siblings when they, say my older brother, when he switches between French and English, I notice that the tone of his voice changes depending on what language. And I think that's actually quite normal depending on maybe when you learn to speak a certain language or how you speak it.
How confident you actually are.
Yeah, sure. So your vocal cord strain is going to be different based on, your anxiety. So when I'm speaking German, I'm quite anxious. So it's like...
I go really quiet.
Yeah, people are like,
maybe what? I should speak second languages all the time.
Just speak second. People are like, she must be German. She must be just speaking English for our benefit.
They're not saying that.
No, I'm wishing. I'm just going to start speaking terrible English, worse than I already do. And maybe people will be like...
But it is. It's funny because you...
struggling
already. I think it's when you... Because you have a partner who's Austrian, so you're messaging with him and communicating with him.
Keeping it simple is best.
And he's got amazing English, but like there are things that don't always fit. And then you... Because you're used to hearing it all the time, you just set back.
Oh, God.
Because we mirror so much of what other people do. Like if we're sitting here... Like, you know, our legs are crossed. And then, like, maybe if you lean in, I might lean in. And
also, my
you
English
become
accent
more English.
Gets stronger. Yeah.
So it's funny. And if I'm with, like, if I speak to my younger sister on the phone, she's now been in Australia for...
So she has a bit of an Aussie...
I mean, she doesn't
totally
sound...
Aussie.
There is no... When you speak to her, you wouldn't even know she's English.
Yeah, funny.
Because she's like full... Well, I mean, come on, you've got a Canadian accent. Same thing, isn't it?
Very confusing.
So... She's like that. My
but it's
parents
funny
are.
Canadians ask me
my
where
dad,
I'm from.
My dad sounds very English still.
Yeah, but that's also funny because when I go to Canada, even though I was hanging out with my Canadian friends,
but
people
were
still asking
me
where I was from. They were like, "Where are you from?" Or my friends were like, "Oh wow, your accent got really funny 10 years away," and I was like, "Yeah, I don't know." Like it's just a mess of all kinds of things.
Yeah,
now.
But the difference is they have the ear of like the local person.
Yeah, right.
So then they're like, "Oh, yours is a bit different." But then if you're going to somebody from the UK, where you're from, like when I speak to my sister, I'm like, oh yeah, she's Australian now.
Yeah.
My parents are somewhere in between.
My mother sounds Dutch.
Does she?
She's like French Canadian speaking
English.
But
it's funny that, like, and I know that I've been told when I speak to my sister on the phone, that I apparently start to take on an Australian thing.
So this is what's really funny. So when my dad turned 70 this year, my sister, bless her, she's a peach, decided to, like, I couldn't make it for my dad's actual birthday and they were having a party and I thought, I'm missing it. It's not going to happen. My sister was like, why don't you come and... She just apologized to the table.
To the wall.
Sorry. I don't know, really, what English thing to do.
I was going to say, I'm just fucking...
I say thank you to the bank, like, machine, it's fine.
My Aussie friend used to say that. He was just like...
I always think
the machine. He just said, he's like, it's very funny here in England. I was like, why? And he's like, because you can walk into somebody and they'll apologise to you.
To you, yeah.
I was like, I know.
It's good, man.
Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, yeah.
Sister,
yeah,
Peach.
Okay. So my sister was like, we decided to surprise my dad for his 70th. So I came a week early, and my sister was like, we're going to go see them at the car show. My parents are into car shows. They're into VWs. And my sister was like, well, before we go meet them, why don't we do a little brewery tour? And we did a tour of the my least favorite gin, Bombay. So we did a Bombay Sapphire tasting, but it's really beautiful there, and actually it's pretty cool. I had an idea for a very cool movie, if anyone wants to make some strange film about it.
Bombay Sapphire?
Yeah,
or?
Because only four people have the recipe and they can never be in the same room at the same time. They're not allowed in case they get killed. I was like,
that doesn't make sense.
This is an accident. Like, if they're on, they can't be on a plane together, they're not allowed to travel together, and they're not said, it's mad. Really funny. Because at that,
why don't they just tell more people the recipe?
It's very James Bond. I love it.
It's also like,
that
come
factory
on.
Factory makes all of the Bombay Sapphire for the entire world. Also, that's
like,
mad.
I get it. Bombay Sapphire's okay, but it's not the
great.
Best gin.
No,
it's like, come on, mate.
I'd
it's not
rather
a fucking
have beef
Mona
eater,
Lisa.
To be honest.
Me too.
I love Beef Eater.
Me too.
Everyone gives it a bad rap. I don't mind Gordon's. I like Beef Eater. Sometimes a gin is a gin. Don't get floral and fancy. Anyway, my sister and I, we were at the distillery. My mother called, and she's like, because my sister and I had been like talking nonstop since the night before, my sister's English accent, so my accent got more English, her accent got softer, got more North American, because she lived in South Texas. My mom was like,
who are you two? What
like,
is happening?
My mom was like, what's going on? No, because they didn't know I was there. So it was like, what are you doing? Why do you sound like your sister right now? I'm very confused. And my sister was like, I'm just sat with my... Oh, we were just watching a movie, Ollie
why
and my
would,
husband.
Why were you not supposed to be there?
Because I was surprising my dad for
70. Oh, sorry, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So then it was like, my sister hung up the phone and was like, fuck, mum's got such a good ear. She already knew that, like, something was up. And when she saw me, she was like, I knew you were there. Because my sister's accent became totally more like mine. We meet in the middle... We find this, like, happy middle.
But I think everybody does, don't they? Like, the more... If you spend time with somebody over that thing, it's just... I think you just... Because you're used to hearing something, your brain and the way that you then use that information is different.
They also say that when you have... Like, it's an empathetic thing to do, to, like, meet someone in the middle in terms of, like, sound or mirroring. That's an empathy trait. The more we drink this, the more I actually think, like... If you like Burgundy or you like oaky, because I think it's not necessarily oaky, but it has like a buttery, unctuous quality about it.
So I disagree with the Burgundy comment.
Okay.
Only because it's quite oily on the palate. Even though it's
oily,
very discreet for Gewürztraminer, but I think, I mean, if you love Gewürztraminer, it's as close as you can ever get to Burgundy in terms of the style, probably, or at least of what I know and what I've tasted so far. But what I would say is, for me, this actually reminds me a lot of like southern northern Rhone whites, like Roussanne, Marsanne.
I was thinking
that texture and creaminess, but still a bit more.
Well, because that's why I was thinking at one minute when I was tasting, I was thinking of the what's the Spanish
like, maybe grab those. I know you've got two sneaky glasses there, which I've gone a bit rogue.
They're filthy.
No one can see that. But we could maybe just taste
filthy,
them, but I think if we went back to the Burgundy,
totally.
It would definitely taste it more acidic than this one.
I mean, it already smells more acidic.
Even though we can't smell acidity, I know what you mean, because it's much more of these citrusy
sharp.
Fruits.
Yeah,
yeah.
I should say. We can't smell acidity. Well, I like it.
Something that comes up in all my training sessions all the time, when they're like, it smells acidic, and I'm like, no, you can't smell it, but that's what
but
I'm saying in my head. And then I'm like, okay, let's break this down.
But then I'm curious, like, okay, if you can't
but
smell
you can
acidity,
smell, you can smell the fruit spectrum, so I think you're...
But what if you're smelling something like a liquid that is sharp, and, like, is vinegar sharp? Like, when you smell, like, what are you smelling then? That sort of, like...
Well, so if we smelt vinegar and wine, though, then that would be
acetobacter.
So, but...
Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I mean, obviously with certain things, so if something was acetic, like vinegar, then you would have volatile aromas, right. So you'd be able to smell more of that, right. Of course. And I think it's a good question, actually, because I think it's not as clear-cut as the way I just kind of rolled in on that. I think you're right.
I think people, like, think they can... There's obviously things that make... That I think will it, equal a taste that you're like, I know that will be acidic because it smells like XYZ. But
yeah, it's not and I think you're right, because... And maybe that's what... I probably shouldn't have just sort of steamrolled in like that, but I think when you are smelling particular wines, obviously... From the nose, you can never know 100% what the acidity level is, but there could be indicators on the nose that might lead you down a track. Okay. So things like citrusy fruits, for example, because of when there's a hugely sort of citrus, green apple focus. We're talking about young wines here, not aged wines, obviously, because then it gets a bit more complicated. But for younger wines, if we're dealing with that sort of fresher aspect on the nose and on the palate, obviously, you know, on the palate with the acidity, but on the nose, then usually it'd be a cooler climate varietal.
That's why this was a bit confusing.
Or a lower alcohol varietal.
It's a very confusing taster, actually.
Whereas when we go to the Gewürztraminer, though, there is this more exotic floral note. And as soon as you taste it, like, it's oily, it's rich. Yes. Like, when you go back to this now, the Burgundy feels a lot lighter.
Yeah, totally.
Whereas, like, you almost forget some of those buttery notes. Now you can see...
the lift in it,
and this is what makes Burgundy so amazing and so amazing food, that racy acidity, even though you've got the texture and weight.
So I actually think then they would follow each other really well. I think this would follow that really nicely, and as a way to like move into something else,
and different cheeses as well, like this Gewürztraminer
we're celebrating. We are right now.
Yes.
We're here.
Yeah. And I think also with the, with what I pair them with in terms of cheeses, like Burgundy with like aged cow's milk cheeses, like old Parmesan, old Comté. But like, you know when it gets really salty and crystallized?
Yes. I mean, that's my jam. I think that's why I also love Merlot so much. Like Comté, just give me a
your wine, if you were a wine, we talked about this, didn't we, before?
I would be a Gewürztraminer, I feel like.
Maybe.
Champagne.
I think you'd be a Gewürztraminer like this. That's like because you're a woman of great depth and quality.
Oh, that's very nice.
Sometimes a bit showy,
but not always loved by everyone.
No. But if I chose a wine for you, I wouldn't choose Gewürztraminer. No. But I can see why you identify with, because you're very colourful.
Yeah,
and you are quite
flamboyant. Sometimes.
Yeah, flamboyant and very expressive, like the way that you dress. With your makeup and everything, that's what I love about you. But I think if I chose a wine for you, it would be vintage champagne or Burgundy, because I think you're still
I do think that too.
Yeah,
I'm with you. Yeah. This is fucking delicious. Thank you for bringing. There were not so many wineries that I was so excited to see, but then that's always an opportunity then to try new things, and you know I like to try new things. So I was sort of like randomly hitting in and out, going to regions that I think are interesting. And I was really excited that there were a couple of Americans. I mean, there were literally, I think, two. But there was this and someone from Washington, whose wines I didn't... What is the name? Anyway, we won't slag him off. But it was like, didn't love it. Someone that really just buys grapes and makes it, and it was like... I don't know why that, like, Lucas was like, he loses points. And I was like, I don't know why that should make you lose points.
I disagree with this.
Yes, because I actually think, like,
I think
I told him I don't know why he should lose points for that.
I think you need to look at, you know, we talk a lot about sustainability in wine. It's getting very deep for a celebration episode.
All right. So I'll wrap it up. That's what happens around the Christmas table anyway. Yeah. Shit gets awkward.
Yeah,
I like it.
When the mince pies come out. But, this would be nice mince pie.
I know, it's perfect.
Fuck, I should have bought you mince pie. I've got some mince pies at home. Anyway, so we talk about sustainability, and it's like, you know, the whole discussion is, what does that even mean? It's a very complex. It's a very complex thing, and actually, if I'm talking about sustainability, I'm thinking about a number of different things. So obviously, environmental is what most people mean when they talk about sustainability, but then it's also the social aspect and economical sustainability as well. So some people wouldn't be able to produce wine.
Not totally.
Because they can't afford to make vineyards. But
grow grapes from their own vineyards or buy vineyards.
We got it. ESL.
Brain's going faster than mouth. That's an issue I have a lot. Yeah. But it is an issue. But I think we talk about that, and I think things have modernized so much that the idea of the negotiant has totally transformed itself. Yeah. And I think not enough people talk about this. Like, negotiants did used to be shit because they were just buying random grapes from whoever they get grapes from.
But I think now it's a, this is why actually Lucas and I had this conversation, because I said, like, I don't think, for me, you don't get points off of that because it's a completely different way to make wine. Because I actually think it's quite interesting. If you're in a particular region and you know who's selling grapes and you get to try things, you're like an artist that gets to decide what goes into your grape. You're not a slave to what grew on your land. You can be like, actually, well, I need something like this. I go get it. You know?
Yes and no. I think you're right. I think it's way more complex, because I think that applies to some rules. Other rules, you make agreements with growers before they produce the grapes.
Sure, of course.
Other times you also have agreements with those growers that you work with over a period of time, where it becomes sustainable for everybody for those three factors, because you're investing in their grapes that they're growing.
True.
So often a lot of decent negotiants offer them a higher price than they would get from the local cooperative.
Then they get maybe more like a...
They get better amount. Right. And then you can also negotiate, this is how I want you to look after the vineyards. And, you know, if you're one
person... That's the name, negotiant.
Yeah.
They're negotiating everything. Yeah.
And if you're one person starting off small and you don't have any money, it's a great way to launch yourself. I mean, in Burgundy, some of the producers I really love, like I love Benjamin Leroux, I like Camille Giroud as well. They're really interesting producers that are negotiants.
Negotiant is a big thing in Burgundy, is it not? Yeah. Like, when I think about negotiants, I think about Burgundy.
Me too.
Yeah.
But the quality now today is that you do have people that care a lot, that are working directly with the people they're buying grapes from. So,
yeah. Maybe that whole thing from Lucas is like, maybe because we're at a particularly like natural wine fair that's about the way that people are growing things specifically.
I mean, also, let's not get into dogma.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Everybody
gets
into dogma. How much sulfur? If you use any sulfur, you're an awful
winemaker.
You're out.
You're not on the team.
If you don't have... And you're right. I think it's really good that you brought this up, because it's something that I've been thinking about a lot, and I'm trying to work out where the chips
where the fall. Feelings are, where the... Yeah.
Yeah, and what is correct? Because if, you know, like I was talking to a friend who produces wine, it's like, oh, well, there's all these different factors in the way that you can approach the model. And it's like, actually, almost anything you do is going to piss off somebody. That's the reality.
Because everyone is watching you.
Don't look at me.
yeah, because no, there's always someone that has an idea.
But I do think, like, if the quality is good, if you're working with the right people in the right way, if you're being respectful to the people you're working with, for the planet that you're working with, for the space, the environment, or whatever, what's the problem really at the end of the day? Right. Why does it need to be about ownership? Like, why are we so indoctrinated in this capitalist world while it's getting
really... Well, that's exactly what it is, because it's like ownership.
Only if you own the vineyards does that then
yours?
Mean that it's good. And then does it then mean that there's quality? Because actually there are many growers that work in those vineyards they don't own.
And
so,
actually, I think it's also interesting because there are different jobs.
I'll give you some more. I know you will.
Different jobs when it comes to making wine. And maybe someone is like excellent at growing vines and someone is better at making wine.
Yeah.
So it's like sharing the load.
Yes.
You know, if you're a fabulous farmer and you are really good at making fabulous grapes, but beyond that, it's not your forte to make wines. I mean, we see lots of this also in the natural wine world, but there's lots of growers that don't necessarily make the best wines or vice versa. You know, everyone's experimenting. And maybe it takes someone who knows what they're doing to go, I love the way you're treating your vineyards. I'm going to make phenomenal wines with your... Yeah, and it shows the strength of a vigneron.
I'd also like to say, because just a closing statement from me on this, is that so many people are very excited about South African wine. I went to South Africa this autumn, and most of the growers and most of the iconic producers in South Africa do not own their own vineyards. Everybody is buying from growers.
Really?
For a number of different reasons, because of the political climate there.
I mean,
a lot of people are scared to buy their own vines and vineyards and farm, because they're worried that either some lunatic might come and kill them to steal some shit, or the government might take it off them. So it's a very interesting...
That's also super interesting, yeah.
But They're making some of the best wines today on the market, and they're not from vineyards they own. They might manage them, or they might buy the fruit from. But I think there's a lot to be said, looking at the South African model, that it does, being a negotiant does work. When the right people care.
Yes, I mean, I think that in general for everything is, if everyone cares and thinks about how it affects their community and 100%. The things at large. Oh, this is a nice sentiment to leave our episode on.
Go into the new year taking all
caring about everything. If everyone just took a little more time to think about, what works for your environment, your place, your financial situation, that of your people around you, we're all going to be better off.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
I like it.
Well, I like it.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
The Gewürztraminer talking.
The Gewürztraminer, yeah.
Hang on, so we have to do some sign-offs. So you can find us on Twitter.
I was going to actually do that.
Ready to like...
I was like,
fade away, fade to black.
No, we're not going to do that today. But just one thing, happy Christmas. Thank you so much for supporting us. We really appreciate it. And if you don't, because of, we do know that like apparently like 75% of people that follow our podcast don't subscribe. So we would love you to subscribe.
Just show us that you're there.
Yeah, I mean, we don't take any, it's a completely non-profit podcast. We don't take any money.
That's what we're talking shit about people all the time.
Yes.
We don't take any money.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't take any sponsorship or any advertising or anything like that. It's all self-funded and we do everything ourselves. If you could tune in and just like join our subscription base on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. So we are on Twitter at
juice_podcast. On Instagram at juice.podcast.
We have a website in case you want to buy one of our tote bags as pictured in the video.
Juice.show.
Anybody that is tuning in on YouTube, shortly when we finish the episode, a little Juice logo will show up by Gwen. Yeah. There'll also be a little click through link just underneath me that will take you through to another episode. We'd love to just stay with you. We're fortnightly now because we both have jobs.
Busy jobs. Busy.
Thank you and Merry Christmas. Is there anything else?
Yeah, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy New Year.
And we'll see you in a week with hangover cures for those people that need a little bit of prep.
We're irresponsible.
Like us.
Cheers.